Okay, fastest intro ever. Podcast stuck in the middle of somewhere. Sidmoss.net, audio, video components, Twitter, follow that shit. Facebook, like it, bitches. Let's do this. Silver Sun Pickups, Dream at Tempo 119.
I took my seat and stared at the cardboard screen while no one cared, while the lights stayed up. The familiar buzz was now long gone. I just waited there as the music soared into the air.
Already closed, like, as the lights went down. Shit down.
Yeah.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the podcast, Stuck in the Middle of Somewhere. I'm Joel Gardner.
And I'm Derek Sweet. I'm really far away from Joel Gardner.
Yeah, we're pretty far. We're at the Gardner household this time, just because of some circumstances that required Derek to travel to my part of town for once.
Yep. Namely, the child
that
needs to be watched.
So we probably would have had to start it. It's pretty late. We probably would have got started a little earlier, but I kind of got, you know, trapped playing Derek's PS Vita, which I think I recall. I think it was two podcasts ago, something about Derek saying this will be one of the first Sony products he's never going to get, or will most likely not be getting.
Okay, no, this is what happened. Like. Jesus came to me in a dream.
Oh, yeah.
In a dream. And he was like, you need to get a PS Vita. And
I knew, like, it was a Jesus revelation.
I'm like, I don't usually agree with everything you say, Jesus, but this time I think I'm going to have to comply.
But the real question was, do you get one now or do you wait for the 3G compatible? That's what I was wondering when you first told me you were getting one. But shit, is he going to wait now? Is he going to wait? Or?
Joel's referencing a conversation that you guys weren't privy to where where I said, the real question is, you know, do I get the Wi-Fi one now or the 3G one when it comes out? And you were like, yeah, that's exactly what I was wondering. That was the pressing issue on my mind.
The first thought.
But then I realized I can make my phone a 3G Wi-Fi hotspot at any time, and I've connected my Vita to it and played games through my phone. So if you bought a 3G PS Vita and you're paying for an extra plan,
you're really stupid, is what you're saying.
Kind of a sucker, yeah. Like, just turn your phone into a Wi-Fi hotspot. And
that's a good point, man. Yeah, that's pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah, I couldn't stream high def video through it, but I could play games.
That's pretty cool. Well, let's get down to what you actually think of the machine. What my first thoughts were, holy shit, is that screen ever sharp?
I know, it's nice.
It is gorgeous.
Yeah, that's the reason I'm such a sucker for it, and I've probably already played it more than my 3DS just because I am a sucker for graphics. That's what I've realized. Like,
really?
The 3DS is a better machine, man. No, hands down.
Why do you say that?
Because the games load up instantly, and the games are great.
Wasn't that bad. Like, even you said that, wait for this RC game, man. Wait to see how long it takes. Like, it was pretty long, but not really that much longer than the average game I play nowadays.
Yeah, for a console, but for a handheld system that has cartridges.
Yeah.
Those, like, a 360 has a disc. These are that shit is on a memory card that's in the machine. There's nothing to read.
So it's taking so long then.
Man, it takes 30 seconds to delete a game. I can format my whole hard drive in less than 30 seconds.
Well, maybe they're saving all the time on how fast the machine boots up, because it boots up like that.
That's true. It does boot up right away, and you know, and you can just like halt games and go mess around in the menus, buy something on the store.
The fact that it halted that game and the machine was off. Like, the machine was off. I booted up to the machine. It started in an instant, and then it still had your halted game from when you're playing previously.
Yeah. No, suspended, I guess, is a better word than halted.
Yeah, sorry. That is a
I use the word first. I said halt.
There you go,
Derek. But
in my mouth.
It's a slick machine. I've already got a flashing blue light of death that I had to hold down.
What?
Yeah.
Flashing blue light of death? That's not good. You haven't even had this thing for like a week.
I know. It was like the first day I had it. and it hasn't been. I know, it was the first day I had it, and I was deleting a game, coincidentally, and it was taking like 30 seconds.
How do you know that's just not what it does when it's deleting a game?
No, because then it went to black screen, and then there was nothing but a flashing blue light, and I couldn't turn it back on, and I couldn't do anything. There was just the
what
PlayStation
the fuck?
Light was
so what did
blue.
You just waited it out?
I had waited a long time, and it never stopped flashing, and I didn't know what to do, and then I went and I Googled flashing blue light of death PS Vita, and there's already an article about it, and they're like, yeah, you have to hold down the power button for 30 seconds and load up your machine in safe mode and get
so
it
it's
back
not
in.
A light of death, like it's not like yeah. the machine's rendered useless now.
No, I know, that's just a term that people use now whenever a machine gets completely fucked.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, like the first day I had it and I had to be booting up in debug mode and getting a flashing blue light of death. I thought it was, you know, so there's been a couple things already that I'm like, ooh, it seems a little bit like a sketchy device, but once you're in the games, man, are they good.
So it just doesn't seem that stable yet.
Yeah, they'll fix all that though.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, and like I said, I've already played it more than my 3DS, and I've had it for like a week just because I just sit there at night.
You know, like when you first got your 3DS, I goofed around on that a lot longer because there seemed to be a lot more things. I don't know if they were just novelty things, you know, the 3D game that you played or the demo game that comes with it or...
Yeah, the Vita has all those same like little things like you can game.
Well, I didn't see it. I asked you to show me some of the back touch controls. I didn't really get to see that at all.
Yeah,
it responds on how hard you hit it. I determined.
Right, there's that. It has a pressure sensitivity on the back for controlling things. So Joel was like tapping the back of the device and making a ball jump higher based on how high he was tapping it, and on FIFA, how hard he was tapping it. I mean, and on FIFA. You shoot with the back of the device, like you tap the top right corner if you want to shoot to the top right of the net and stuff.
It's
like
really
that.
Intuitive,
dude. It works so well.
Really,
I couldn't believe I was like, you know, moving with one stick and then juking the ball back and forth with the right stick, and then whenever I want to shoot, just tap that part of the net, and it works so perfectly.
But the thing costs more than like a PS3 now,
yeah,
dude.
I know. Yeah, it's definitely like. You have to be a connoisseur of gaming to get this thing. Because not only is it 250, but the memory cards, man. Like, okay, so I was going to tell you about this. I paid for my starter pack, and it came with headphones that I threw in the garbage immediately. Like little...
They're that bad?
Just little earbuds. I've got 100 earbuds. I don't need another set of earbuds.
I guess so, but some earbuds are better than others.
Yeah, these ones are garbage. And came with like a little case for holding games and memory cards. Eight games and two memory cards. And then it came with a 4 gig memory card, and then it came with this little,
which I've already determined is useless too, because you load up one game and then you don't even have room for a demo apparently after that.
I've got 3 games on there right now.
Oh, 3 games you have on there?
Yeah, but two of them are just like downloadable titles, so there's only one actual full release on there.
Yeah,
which is Marvel vs. Capcom.
Yeah, which was great.
It was awesome.
So what else were you gonna say? So you got the 4 gig memory card, and then what?
And then I got this little velvet case too.
Yeah.
And for like $40. And I'm like, man, I should have just got like a bigger memory card. But the memory cards are expensive, man. The 4 gig is $30. The 8 gig is $60.
8 gig memory card is $60.
Or maybe it was 16. No, I think it's 16 gigs is $60. 8 is $40.
How do they justify this when you can pick up like terabyte hard drives for $200?
I know. And it was and then there's a 32 gig one that's $100.
What? Yeah. Holy fuck.
And that's
man.
That's the discounted price after they got a bunch of really bad price for having too high prices on
really
the memory
bad
cards.
Press.
Yeah.
For having too high prices, so they lowered the price to $100 for technically a hard drive or a
No, a flash drive.
A flash card, I mean.
Yeah, like just a flash memory card like you would have for your camera. And they're pretty equivalent to the prices of those flash cards, too.
Yeah, I don't know. That still seems pretty
But you don't have
there,
to download
man.
Your games.
Why?
You don't
I
have
guess
to
you don't have to
your
download
games.
Your games, but why do we have to buy storage for a fucking system? You know, why isn't systems just coming with storage?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, there should be a hard drive in it for sure, but then it would be heavier, right? But I don't know.
I guess, why not just come with a fucking memory card with it then? Why does it have to be a hard drive? Like, put in a fucking memory card. Throw that shit in there.
They're just trying to make it cheap. $250
I'm already paying you.
I know, they're trying to make it cheap. They're trying to make it $250. That's why.
That's crazy.
I know, it's definitely like, when I was buying it and I walked by the Xboxes and like the brand new Xbox Slims were $125.
Yeah.
Like half the price of that thing without a memory card. Like,
well, Xbox Slims, what's with that? Is your Xbox slow as shit lately?
Yeah. What's going on there?
I don't understand. It takes 30 seconds to boot up at least.
I thought
it was... And
then
once you boot up, you go to your friends list, takes at least another 15 seconds until it displays your friends. Mm-hmm. It's pretty crazy, man. It just seems to be getting slower and slower. This new interface seemed faster at first. But what's happening?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was getting the license information for all of the downloaded games I had. So I cleared off like 90% of my hard drive last night, didn't speed it up at all.
Yeah.
Not one bit. And I started Googling Xbox Slim versus old school Xbox, and the Xbox Slim is 5 seconds faster. It boots up 5 seconds
faster. Fuck that shit, though, dude. It wasn't running this slow before. What's the difference? What happened between when they first released that new interface to now?
They
updated that all of a sudden it's running a bunch of really slower. Is it the Apple thing that Apple keeps releasing software to make your old devices run slower to like force you to get the new iPhone?
I don't know. They don't have a new Xbox for you to download.
We got a new Xbox Slim that runs 5 seconds faster that I should apparently be getting for $125.
They don't advertise it as being any faster.
No, that's true.
I was doing.
Well, they don't advertise. Well, yeah, I guess they do advertise the 4 for being way faster.
Yeah. But I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on. But yeah, I literally have 5 downloaded games on my Xbox right now, and it's still like just to go to Quick Play and load up my downloaded games and play one.
Which games did you keep?
Bastion.
Yeah,
Gotham City Impostors.
Nice. I loaded that up the other day for the first time in a while.
I kept it on there because I still haven't played it, and I was like, this is an excellent game, and you're not deleting it until you play it.
Dude, it was like my favorite arcade game of last year.
But Bastion, Gotham City Impostors, Magic the Gathering, Risk, because I thought maybe Kelsey would want to play Risk sometimes, and Burnout Crash, because I thought maybe Kelsey would want to play Burnout Crash sometimes.
Nice. Well, let's get to another downloadable title that I can't believe we haven't talked about yet and has literally blown my mind and been one of my favorite video game experiences of all time, I think, dude.
Yeah.
And that is Journey.
So good.
Oh my God, dude.
Yeah, it was really impressive.
Really took my breath away, man. Like, really emotional. Every aspect of it was so emotional. Just, first of all, it was gorgeous. As soon as you come in, the opening of it was just amazing. I just love the fact that there's, you know, no sound. No sound, sorry. Phone went off, so I think sound shit.
Like, no sound, no sound.
The fact that there is no interface, there is, and, well, okay, we'll get into that other part after, but just the fact that we start off absolutely gorgeous, the sand, amazing, just the way it feels. These are the guys that did Flower and Flow. Flow is the other one they did as well, right?
Yep.
That game company. Man, these guys have a real knack.
And that is the name of the company.
Yeah, that game company.
Yeah. Joel wasn't just saying that game company. That's, they're actually called that game company. It's confusing.
Yeah, so anyway, you go along and you just start off and you're thrown into this desert and you're this character in a cape and a cowl. You know your goal is to get to this shining light on top of this mountain.
I'm surprised you hear you say cape and cowl. I thought it totally looked like a burqa.
A burqa, really?
Like
it
a
did
kind of
have a you know, Muslim feel to it in a way, man.
And coincidentally, she wasn't allowed to speak, so.
What do you mean she wasn't allowed to speak? I was beeping all the time. You can communicate in a way.
I guess, yeah. I know. It's like, bong.
So anyway, you just go along the sand, and you find yourself flying and flowing over these huge sand dunes and awesome structures. And just the most gorgeous landscapes you've seen in a video game. And this is a downloadable title, man.
Mm-hmm.
And
the paths then all of a sudden, in the sand.
Yeah. Oh, the paths that you leave in the sand. Yeah. Just amazing. Just the feel of it is. Oh,
it looked
like
it was rendering
felt.
Thousands of grains of sand at one time.
Yeah, exactly. It totally did, man. And then so you're going along, and then you, all of a sudden you find yourself coming across your twin, or all of a sudden hearing in the distance beep 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 beep, like this kind of like. It's not really a beep. It's like
it's a chime. It's like bong bong bong.
Yeah, and it's another player, another live human being, who you cannot communicate with in any way, other than this chiming, and you know that you have the same goal, and that is to solve the puzzle that's put in front of you, and you kind of just go along, and that first feeling of leaving. That first person I came across, holy, oh my God, that was hard to do. Dude.
It's sad.
When I came, when I sat down and or I stopped, he's going, and then he stopped and he turned around. He's like, cha-chum, chum, 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 cha-chum, chum, chum. And then I'm like, chum, chum. And he like comes back over to me and he's like, he sits down beside me, chum, chum. It was just like kind of so sad that we were leaving each other. I have no idea who this person was. It could have been Derek for all I know.
I know, yeah. I actually was like thinking it was you. I was like,
your first time?
I was like, I bet you it pairs me up with the people on your friends list, and I thought you were playing it at the same time, and I was like, man, I bet you that's Joel. Like, you just feel like it's a friend.
Did you finish the game with somebody as well?
No,
ending of that game.
No, I was alone for the end.
Just yeah.
No, no, I did.
Just so emotional. Only for the very wrenching and one of the with something with no text, no dialogue throughout the entire fucking game. I don't think I've ever felt so deeply about a character before.
Yeah, no, it was awesome.
It was just amazing. A must buy for anyone. It was extremely short. You could easily sit down and finish it in one go. It's 3 to 4 hours long.
Yeah, you finished it in one day.
Yeah, one day. But
let's talk about how you got it too, by the way.
Yeah, well, I was just gonna say, you want to talk about exactly how I was managed, because this Journey got released for PS Plus users. And I am no longer a PS Plus subscriber because I myself think it's useless.
Yeah,
and
I am only a PS Plus subscriber because I have forgotten to cancel it repeatedly.
So Derek got access a week earlier. I was extremely jealous. Derek told me that, you know, he was at his brother-in-law's or who somebody's house, and he was able to download a game that this dude had and play it on his account. And I was like, fuck you. That's total
bullshit.
There's
no way it's possible.
There's no
right?
way they would let you do that.
It's exactly
like, okay, well,
I
here,
had.
Go to your house. And if you want to play Journey tonight, go home and I'll give you my account information. So I go home. I just start a new user two. And it asks you for what does it ask you for? An email address and
your PlayStation Network
your
login.
PlayStation,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I entered Derek's information. And then it asked me to verify the credit card. And I'm like, okay, Derek, what's your credit card information? He gave it to me because he trusts me. And I put it in. And sure enough, downloaded Journey, logged out of user two. So I don't even have to be user two anymore. Logged out of user two, logged into Valentine. Boom! I'm playing fucking Journey for free a week earlier.
And you're not PlayStation Plus. And you're playing
And I'm
on
not
that
a
account.
PlayStation Plus user, so it didn't even register that I was getting this game for free and I'm not a PlayStation Plus. I'm not Evil Advocate. So any game that your buddy can download or any game that your buddy downloads on PlayStation, you can now download and play on your account. Even with him.
Yeah,
even
with him.
If it was a multiplayer game, you could play with him at the same time.
Yeah, it's true.
Unreal. I don't know if they know,
this is
happening or if it's possible. Maybe someone should tell him. I think it's kind of cool.
It's wicked. I think it's a conscious effort on their part to not have any strict DRM. And I think that's awesome.
Who else came out recently saying, fuck DRM, man?
It was,
It was some game publisher, and I was like, nice, finally some game developer that realizes how detrimental DRM could be to his industry.
Yeah, you linked to it.
Yeah, fuck, can't remember. It was quite a while ago.
It was like a week ago.
That's quite a while ago, Derek. You know how many tweets I've made since then?
Yeah. True. But anyways, yeah, no, I mean, it's either, it can't be an oversight. They have to know about it. They just don't tell people. By the way,
yeah, only one of your friends. How do you not know that?
How does everybody not have one friend whose account is the one that everybody buys everything on, and you all just pitch? And like, you know, if I had five friends that all played PlayStation, I would be like, okay, well, like, Joel's account is the one that we all buy stuff on.
I know that you got it on PlayStation. I'll be downloading.
Well, only if you need to early, because, of course, you bought Journey when it came out, right, Joel?
Well, it's not out yet, but it's out this week. But I will be buying Journey, just because Journey was such an incredible game that they deserve my money, man. Yeah. There's no question in my mind.
And isn't that the whole point of not having DRM? Genuinely, if you make a product good enough, people should pay for it.
People will pay for it, man. Louis C.K. proved that, dude.
Yep. It's true, man. People should be letting people try their games for free and say, pay us if you like it, you know? But I don't know. That wouldn't work.
No, not necessarily play the whole game for free, but, you know, maybe... We should really start determining prices of games on how good they are, and not just because it's a new release, it's at least $50 or more.
Because, man, I don't know, man. Sometimes a trial isn't enough. Because let's talk about...
Oh, what happened?
Let's talk about I
Am Alive. A trial that Derek downloaded while I was at his house, and both of us were blown away. We were like, holy shit, this game is really unique. Why is it just getting trashed? It looked really good for an arcade title.
It wasn't even super trash. IGN gave it a 40, but its Metascore is 67, which isn't horrible.
It's not a game that I would consider buying.
Yeah, well, I angrily deleted it last night.
Both of us are blown away, and then all of a sudden Derek comes over tonight. He's like, so guess what? I angrily deleted last night because it's just garbage.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? And he's like, I Am Alive. I was like, dude, what are you talking about? That was amazing. It had so much potential.
Okay, so let's give people a quick rundown of why it's so cool. It's like this survival game that combined like Tomb Raider, but then would throw in things like you're in a post-apocalyptic situation, and when you come across other humans that are also just trying to survive, they'll pull a gun on you and say, just walk away, man, and you have the option of just putting your hands up and backing up and go, whoa,
man. You have
the
option to walk away, or if you have the gun, you can intimidate people. You don't have to even necessarily shoot people in the game.
Yeah, so it's like, and then that's another thing. Yeah, you'll come across other people that are threatening you with a machete, and you pull out the gun, even though you know there's zero bullets, and the guy goes, whoa, whoa, and he gets really scared, and then you can back him up into a corner and then kick him off a cliff.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So there was like these weird survival elements that no one...
The climbing mechanism?
The climbing mechanism, yeah, where you can only climb for a limited amount of time, and then, you know, you have to get to a flat platform and rest, and you can't just climb indefinitely. There's a whole bunch of really cool things that they threw in there, but then as you play through the game, first of all, it never changes. It's like pretty much the same all the way through. The same, every fight's the same, and every interaction with like the climbing is the same. But that's okay. I mean, you can say that about a lot of games. But it just started to get really junky, man. Like when you have a girl and she's on your back, and you're piggybacking a girl on her back, and like, she just sticks to your back. Like, she's like part of your back. There's no, she's not bouncing on your back naturally, right? Like, yeah. It just like she moves in the exact same ratio as your back. And like, it just looks so unnatural and crappy. So yeah, as you start to play through the game, you start to realize that they achieved the effect of having it look like there was good graphics by making everything really blurry and out of focus.
Yeah.
But it really was a really shitty looking game, actually. And you can see why this game had like 10 years of development or 6 years of development or something like that.
It was supposed to be a full release game, and then just a whole bunch of shit kept happening to it until eventually they just said, screw it, let's release it as an arcade title.
Yeah, because they realized the quality wasn't good enough. It would never make it as a full title. And that's what Ubisoft realized, so they pulled the plug. They thought that they were just going to pull the plug completely, and then they said, no, let's release it as an arcade game. And so anyways, not only did it start to really look bad, but it just, I just got so frustrated with parts of the game because it was just so, I don't want to say difficult, because I don't shy away from a challenge. It was difficult for the wrong reasons. It was difficult because it was clunky. It was difficult because the controls sucked.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just frustrating. That's not a real challenge. That's just playing something that's
shitty.
That's
nothing to do with you sucking. It has everything to do with the game sucking.
Yeah. So, yeah. But as we were talking about it in the garage, I was like, maybe I'll reinstall it one day. I don't know. I was really angry because I was playing on survival mode, which is a really hard mode. So that could have been why.
Yeah, I don't know if it'd be worth it, but 1,200 points, was it?
Yeah, fuck, was it really? Damn it.
Yeah, I think it was 1,200, pretty sure. Mass Effect 3 came out. You picked it up.
Well, wait till I finish it before I give a full review, but I really like it so far.
Yeah, you're digging it? Just kind of same old Mass Effect 3, or Mass Effect, though?
It's the same. The combat isn't too different. I think you'd have to be a real connoisseur to really detect the difference. It's been a while since I played Mass Effect 2, so I don't notice a huge difference in the combat.
But, well, you keep refusing to use one of the things that they promoted the most about it, which was the Kinect functionality, Derek. And for some reason, you keep refusing to do anything with your Kinect to the point other than it just sits in a box now and collects dust.
I know.
And even when I'm over there, I'm like, can I just set up Kinect and we just set it up and like maybe try it out just to see like what it's like?
I'm like, no.
No, man. Like, I know I'm not going to use it anyway, so there's really no point.
Well, it's the only thing you can do is direct people and say, like, Callie, shoot that guy and stuff.
I guess, but I don't know how. I don't know. Is that how it works, Derek?
I don't
exactly.
know.
Exactly.
I can't use the Kinect because my condo is too small. So
but you don't direct them anywhere
I know.
Other than your voice.
Yeah, so I know. I need to try it. I'll try it. I'm going to give a full review of Mass Effect 3. The one thing that I will say about it that I like about it a lot is that there's this huge overarching war that you're preparing for, and the whole game you're going around trying to win people onto your side in the war and say, help us in this mission to save the universe, basically.
Now, what did you say? You told me something about the overall story, and I thought that was pretty cool. Something about some race that keeps coming back and wiping out all the other races.
Well, anybody that's played Mass Effect knows that, yeah, the main plot of the game is that there's these Reapers that come every 50,000 years and destroy all sentient life in the universe. And the very beginning of Mass Effect 3 is the Reapers actually launching the attack. The first two games, you're discovering that this is going to happen, and you're trying to warn everybody.
Oh, okay. And 3 is when it actually the shit starts going down.
Yeah, and I don't feel I'm spoiling anything because that's in the demo. That's like that's the very first level in the game, and it's also in the demo. So,
how can I be spoiling anything if that's the beginning of the game?
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, the one thing that I do really like about it is you have this galactic readiness score. That you're as you're going around, you're making choices and you're trying to convince people to help you, and your readiness goes up. And playing co-op, they've got like a horde mode. You saw it for a bit.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of horde mode. I don't think you are either.
No, not really. I do love co-op based missions like Syndicate, though.
Yeah, that's a little different when you actually have objectives to do.
Yeah, so, but that contributes to your readiness in the single player as well, so I'm going to have to play some co-op just to get my readiness up so I can get the best ending. But
I don't understand the best ending. What does that mean? Like,
the
best ending?
Like, you get to fuck the girl and beat the bad guy ending.
What if happens if the best ending in your mind is you wanted to kill everybody?
Well, then you have that choice in Mass Effect. That's the whole point of it. Penny Arcade did a great comic where, like, the two characters were talking, and he goes, what do you mean Tally's dead? And he goes, yeah, Tally died in Mass Effect 2. He's like, what? He's like, your Captain Shepard has chicken parts, right? And he goes, what choices are you making? Because, like, yeah, you can completely have characters. You could be in Mass Effect 3, and a character that died in Mass Effect 1 will still be alive in some people's games.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's really
unless
cool.
You just pick up Mass Effect 3. Without having played the first two.
But then you have to make those choices. You have to say this person died or this person died when you start the game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you have to backload your character with all the choices you would have made in the first two games.
In the first two games?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, it's really
That's
cool.
That's not bad, man. You kind of quit playing the first two games.
Yeah.
That's all the boring parts. There's still some shit in that game. It's just like, why is this taking so long?
Yeah.
Like when you have to scan yourself to get to one part of the ship.
That's really bad.
Why? Why is that happening?
Yeah, and then it's and then you take a little step forward and it scans again. Anyways, we won't talk about that, but yeah, we'll talk more about Mass Effect 3 when I finish. Apparently, there's some big controversy over the end. I saw an article on IGN called BioWare Defends Themselves on Criticism of the End of Mass Effect 3. And I'm like, hey, not reading that. Wow. Like, that's some huge spoiler right there. So yeah. I just avoided that. But apparently, there's controversy over the ending. So I'm like, ooh, that's curious what'll happen.
Well, speaking of spoilers and controversy, god damn, is Walking Dead ever good, man?
You know there's only one episode left, eh?
Yeah, there's one more episode left this season, but shit, they, man, big balls on those writers, dude.
That episode, I'm telling you,
I mean, I obviously saw what happened coming at some point, because in the comic it happened within like the first couple issues. Yeah. So, but I mean, they don't hold back, and I love it. Other than that, new community tonight. Super fucking stoked about that, dude. I can't wait. Right after the podcast is done, I'm going to go up to my PVR and watch that shit.
And South Park season 16 started last night.
16. That's awesome, man. Dude, that's still a show I feel bad for not watching more. Like, I know it's a really good show, and I know it's amazing and brilliant, and I laugh my ass off every time I watch it, but for some reason, just can't.
You just don't watch animations, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Did you ever watch Simpsons, Family Guy?
Yeah, kind of. Like, they're the type of shows I was into for a while, and then I just grew tired of them.
Well, watch this season of South Park, man, because the first episode was hilarious. I laughed out loud, like.
Yeah, you say that about every South Park
episode. No, man. I guess. No, but no, not everyone. Some of them are pretty bad. Especially on first viewing. There's a few episodes I had to watch a few times before I really liked.
Yeah.
But that one last night was really funny. It's a huge criticism of the TSA, like the security agencies in the states.
Oh, really?
That scan you at the airports and stuff.
Let's just keep blasting with radiation, you motherfuckers.
The metaphor they
went... Little 5-year-old girl, take this. Take some radiation.
The metaphor they went with was that they... they had it, so they introduced scanning before you could take a shit on your own toilet. And they have, like, big, fat black women going, I need to check your asshole, sir. Can you please bend over? Asshole clean. It was really funny. Like,
that's pretty funny, dude.
Kind of racist, but funny as shit.
Bring it down a little bit. You want to talk about some Coney stuff, man?
I think we're done, man. I think this is getting long, but yeah, we can talk
what
about
the, how what long how what are we at?
I don't know. I don't have a timer because it's just on this gay little laptop screen.
Why?
I have like 964/4 of a second. That's the only information.
quick calculate that, how long we've been doing this fucking thing.
Yeah, no, anyways, let's talk about, we can talk about Coney for a bit, I guess. I don't know.
I don't really know much about it, man. There's some guy that used to be in Uganda, or is it Uganda? Or
yeah, he was in Uganda, and
enlist children as humans, as soldiers.
He doesn't just enlist them, he kidnaps them, and then psychologically brainwashes them and trains them into being soldiers and sends them back to kill their parents.
To kill their parents, really.
Yeah, and other members of their village, and then turns the little girls into sex slaves.
So I didn't watch the video, so obviously Invisible Children isn't doing all that good.
he's number one. He's number one in the world on the list of war criminals.
Really?
Like, yeah. So he's a bad dude, right? And so Invisible Children releases this movie in this campaign, Coney 2012, and everybody starts linking to it.
Yeah, let's get to what I really want to talk about, and that's. So Invisible Children is getting a lot of criticism over the fact that a lot of their budget goes to making these movies and creating awareness instead of actually helping the situation, or what people think would be helping the situation by like giving aid and shit. Mm-hmm. But I kind of agree, like where are they going to give aid to? Who are they going to give money to in order to help this situation out?
Mm-hmm.
Is it doing a lot of good, just creating awareness? Is it a form of slacktivism, as people like to say? Like, oh yeah, so a lot of people link to it on Facebook and think they're doing good. Well, in a way, aren't they kind of doing good? Like, just creating awareness about it and people knowing that this shit is out there?
That was just the first step, though. Like, he gave a three-step plan for everybody. He said, number one, share this video. Make the guy famous. Make it so everybody in the world knows who Joseph Kony is so that he can't just exist with impunity anymore, and make it so the world cares about getting him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And motivate your political leaders to put pressure on them to help out with the situation, right? And catch this guy. And he's in hiding now, and they made that clear. They didn't deceive anybody. Some people say he has been ineffectual for 5 years and he's been in hiding. Yes, that's true. The Ugandan army kicked him out and got him out of Uganda, and he's been in hiding for 5 years. Doesn't mean he doesn't need to still be caught.
Yeah, what does that have
prevent
to do with
it from ever coming back and stuff, right? And so people criticize them because they spend a bunch of their budget making movies. They defended themselves on that. People criticize them for spending $222,000 on the salaries of their executives between four people. That's $60,000 a year. That's not a lot
That's
of
not
fucking
a lot of money,
man.
Yeah.
That is like bare living necessities nowadays, pretty much. I don't know, right?
Depending on where you live.
Yeah. And then now the number one thing that they're being criticized for is people say that it's a very racist position to say that they need the rest of the world to come save them. Apparently they held a screening, Al Jazeera English is reporting, they held a screening of this movie for the people in Uganda that were actually affected by Joseph Kony, and they started throwing rocks at the screen and tried to burn down the theater. They were that offended by what the movie was saying.
Well, why though? These were people that used to be under Kony's influence,
right? And they feel that the makers of the video Invisible Children were taking credit for what they did. They felt that they were the ones that got Joseph Kony out, and Invisible Children was totally making it look like, look, white people to the rescue, stupid black people can't help themselves, so the white people came, right? And there was a little bit of that, but they couldn't have made it more clear in the video that it was the Ugandan people and the Ugandan army that got him out of Uganda. They made that's super clear. So whenever I hear people saying that, I'm like, were we watching the same video? Because like, it didn't come off like that to me at all, and it didn't come off to me as imperialistic at all. It came off as, let's make the world care about things again.
Yeah.
And that's what I saw for one morning, people weren't talking about themselves. Yeah. Everybody was talking about helping somebody else, and I was like, wow, what a beautiful thing. And then the cynicism just came in, and all the criticism, and I didn't
the
care.
Mainstream media criticism, which I thought John Stewart had a great point.
Yeah.
When they were all bitching about like how they mentioned Kony like several years ago and no one paid attention, like they were all kind of whining about how they couldn't make a viral video almost about Joseph Kony, you know?
Isn't that weird? And like,
so weird.
It's just and you know, it was just weird how I think I took it really hard.
They did their first step really well, man, which is creating this awareness. A lot of people are aware of it.
Well,
so you forgot to mention what their other two steps were.
Oh, and then the second step was order the action kit, which Kelsey and I both did. So that comes with a t-shirt to wear, as well as posters to put up and stickers to put up on April 20th. They're going with 420 for some reason, which I thought was strange.
That is very strange.
But on April 20th, you should see a lot of people wearing Kony t-shirts and Kony posters and stickers up everywhere, because that's the
Kony smoking a big reefer.
But see, the thing is that their whole plan, that whole step of their plan, didn't account on like billions of people sharing the video. Like, they didn't know that it was going to explode the way it did. So the whole April 20th putting stickers up and stuff, not really necessary anymore. Everybody knows who he is now.
Yeah.
That was the whole point. And then the third step was write your politicians and put pressure on them to help. So they were the reason their video was so successful is because they not only made you care, but said, here's three simple steps you can do right now to help.
How much was the action kit?
$40.
That's not bad.
No, yeah. And Kelsey and I both ordered them. And you know, now that I look at it and I'm like, yeah, you know, I got caught up in it, and I got caught up and I got angry at some people in the forums, and I got angry at people on Facebook for being cynical and stuff like that. And I even stopped reading the thread in the forums. There's a 4-page thread in our forums about it. And I stopped reading it on page one because I was like, I don't want to expose myself to their cynicism. I want to continue feeling like I can do something good. And I don't want to expose myself to these thoughts of it's all stupid and a waste of your time. Because you know what? Even if it is a waste of everyone's time, I don't give a shit. they were not talking about Jersey Shore. They were trying
help. Is that just people that are like kind of jealous over the fact that there are other people out there doing good and that might be changing the world instead of just sitting there picking their ass, reading other people's Facebook status and shit?
That's where the cynicism comes from, for sure. It's guilt that they feel that other people are saying, you should care about this. And they're saying, yeah, you know what? I really shouldn't. And here's why.
Yeah,
but to me, it's not about this specific issue. It's about caring at all. That's all I wanted is I'm just like, you know what? I don't care if it's bullshit.
Yeah, but you can't. I think the problem is that other people might see it as like you're trying, like other people were forcing it down their throats, almost like religion. It's like, well, fuck you. Like, I don't want to care, you know? Like, maybe it is awesome having that feeling of everyone caring and wanting to do something and helping. And you just want other people to feel that. It's just like that rebellion thing, you know? Whenever something's cool, people want to rebel against it. It's not like it's Joseph Kony was the in thing to do at the moment. It's just that, like, a lot of people, I feel, might think, like, it's forced on them. So they fight it that much more.
It's true. The religion comparison is interesting, right? Because Christians also think that by spreading the word of God, they are genuinely helping people. They're doing the best thing they can be doing.
Which deep down, the word of God is generally good. You know, don't kill your neighbor. Don't fuck your neighbor's wife, I should say. Don't kill people.
No, yeah, no. I mean, but it's as soon as they start talking about homosexuality is when I can't be on the same page as them because they want to prevent people from having the same rights as them. And I'm just like, can't get on board with you.
Yeah, it's a whole fucking other thing, man.
The whole Kony thing is like, yeah, I, you know, for a couple hours I felt silly about it because, yeah, you know what, I probably was a little bit too overzealous to support it. But and I didn't fully educate myself before I did, but two things. Number one, I think that they've defended themselves very well, Invisible Children. They now have a Twitter campaign called Ask I See Anything, and you can ask them any question, and that daily are responding to all the questions that people ask them and like asking, criticizing them and trying to defend themselves.
Yeah.
And I feel that they're defending themselves very well. And number two, even if it was all bullshit, I still wouldn't care because I just am glad that people were trying to do something.
So is the fact that Joseph Kony is a terrible human being in dispute in any way?
No.
So they pretty much got their point across and
the
reached
best,
their goal, did
the
they
best
not?
Criticism I've heard of them, and I haven't heard their response to it yet, I'm sure it's coming, is they support military intervention, which means killing child soldiers.
Yeah, it's a gray line, man, in terms of what are the necessary steps in order to stop this guy. Like, what is the only way to bring this guy to justice? Will children have to die in order to bring him to justice?
Yeah.
And how many children will have to die compared to how many children might die in the future because of him, you know?
Man, if they could... And I don't want to say they necessarily did for sure, but if they can get Osama bin Laden with a team of six guys.
Dude, what are you talking about? Haven't you heard the latest? He's in Oklahoma right now, and he's been there for like several years. He's frozen, dude. He's frozen in Oklahoma. No, this is Vice, dude. This is like Vice. This is like a conspiracy theory that Vice linked to.
Yeah.
Vice TV, I'm telling you, if you want to see some crazy shit like Joseph Kony in Uganda, man, like you should watch some Vice Guide .tv. This series. I think I've talked about it before, but if you want to see some crazy shit, especially like some stuff that's going down in Liberia and stuff about children and heroin and shitting on, pissing on their beaches and stuff like that and living with no electricity and just in slums and some of the worst living conditions on the planet, you got to check out this series, man.
If only so that you can appreciate what you have.
Yeah, exactly. But all right, let's go. I think Joseph Kony killed this podcast.
Yeah, totally.
Anyway, this has been Stuck in the Middle of Somewhere.
Joseph Kony killed this podcast like he does so many children's parents.
What games are coming out?
Joseph Kony, the game.
Lately.
I hear it's coming. It's Invisible Children's next awareness campaign.
Joseph Kony, the movie's definitely coming.
Have you? I love how people are linking to that picture of Carl Weathers in Predator, and it looks exactly like Joseph Cody. And they're all saying, this is the real victim in all this. Is like 90% of the people think that it's Carl Weathers.
I love, yeah, there's one post going around, and one guy posted it, and it's like, his caption was, I love this guy. And some chick is like, how dare you? You are horrible. As if you're not just doing that for attention. He's like, what? He was awesome in Predator. It's Carl Weathers. He's a great actor.
One of my favorite statuses were from a guy named Sean LeComber. And he said, hey, say what you want about him, but Joseph Coney's always been really nice to me. Okay, that's good. There, we brought it back up for the end.
So. All right. What games are coming out lately?
Nothing, really. There's
nothing's coming out?
There's the new Resident Evil is the only thing that I'm moderately excited about.
Yeah, that might be good, man. I've always been a Resident Evil fan.
Yep.
We'll see. All right. Well, anyway, go out and buy Journey, motherfuckers, because that shit will blow you away. I can guarantee you that.
Get a PS Vita because I need people to play with.
Oh, fuck your PS Vita, dude. What, seriously? Man, we should get back on some Minecraft building. I'm telling you, dude.
All right. We got to end this podcast, though. It's long.
Whatever.
Stuck in the middle of somewhere. Sitmoss.net. Stuck in the middle of somewhere.com. Sitmoss on Twitter. Stuck in the middle of somewhere on Facebook.
There you go. Derek did it. And, yeah, that's it, everybody. Peace. I couldn't end it there. And as the wooden bones go through her skin, crumble naturally. As the limbs and leaves have broken free 20 years before. She said, don't open your eyes and you can't swim. Wanted nothing more. She said, go.